We're beginning Masechta Hodius, the last Masechta of Seder Nezikin. It's a short Masechta, but packs quite a lot into it. The topic of Masechta Hodius, the major topic, is things that Rambam includes in Hilchos Shgogos, which is cases of mistakes for which a person has to bring a korban. Now we have the Torah tells us as follows: an individual person makes a mistake and does certain avodas b'shogeg, then they have to bring a korban chatas. Before that, the Torah tells us, actually the order in which the Torah tells us is as follows. First, the Torah talks about the Kohen Mashiach, which in our Masechta is going to be the subject of the second perek. So you have the anointed Kohen Gadol makes a mistake in Halacha. He's a distinguished posek himself. He makes a mistake in Halacha, in certain areas of Halacha, and he follows it. Then when he realizes his mistake, he has to bring the Par Kohen Mashiach, a special korban, a bull, as a korban, where he brings the blood of chatas, he brings the blood of it inside the heichel and sprinkles it, as we say in morning davening, al parochas val mizbach hazahav, and that's his chatas. So that's the para kohen gadol, the para kohen mashiach. We're going to discuss it in the second parak of our masechta. Then the pasuk goes on to tell about, you have a similar kind of thing when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake. That's going to be the subject of our parak. Why they're out of order then, why our masechta deals with first the beis din and then the kohen gadol. So there's a comprehensive pirush on the masechta called Be'er Sheva, where he gives a few different answers for that. One of them is that the Kohen Gadol doing it is almost like the whole Jewish people sinning, because the Kohen Gadol is considered the equivalent of all the people. So first it deals with the Beis Din, and then it deals with the Kohen Gadol, which is similar to that. And he goes on and gives a couple of other answers as well. In any case, so our parak is going to deal with the second case that the Torah deals with, which is where Beis Din made a mistake in Halacha, and most of the people followed them. So again, they're going to bring the korban, they're going to bring the par helam dover, this is called the par helam dover shel tzibur. Again, it's going to be a bull brought as a chatas. Again, the blood of it is going to be brought inside the heichel and sprinkled over there, and that'll be mechaper for them. So that's going to be the subject of our parak. After that, the Torah deals with what happens if the king does an aveda b'shogeg, and then if the commoner does an aveda b'shogeg, and those are going to be dealt with a little bit in the third parak of our Masechta. Now, these are matters of Kodshim, so in a way, our Masechta is almost like a transition between Nezikin and Kodshim, but the reason it's actually in Seder Nezikin, the Rambam explains, because throughout the Seder, we've been learning about Beis Din's procedures and how Beis Din judges Dinim Mominus and Dinim Nefoshes and so forth. Inevitably, you're going to have people judge. They're going to make mistakes. And in Pirkei Avos, in fact, you have the expression, heaven was soon in Badin. Be deliberate in judgment. Don't rush to judgment. But even if you are, inevitably, it's going to happen. People being people, they're going to make mistakes, and therefore, our Masechta has to deal with the consequences of those mistakes. In fact, Be'er Sheva says that's one reason why the case of Beis Din making the mistake comes before the case of the Kohen Gadol, even though in the Pasuk it's the other way around. Because that's after all, the reason for the placement of our Masechta where it is in the first place is because it's a continuation of dealing with procedures of Beis Din, and in this case, if they made mistakes. Currently, actually, in Shlosha Parakim of Rambam, we just started yesterday Hilchos Shgogos, which is at first the Rambam starts dealing with the dinim of a chatas yachid, but eventually, a few parakim later, he deals with these chatos that we're talking about over here, of the tzibur and of the kohen gadol. So we're gonna have a couple of days there where the daf exactly dovetails with the Rambam of the day, the Shlosha Parakim of the day. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off. One thing I should mention also, as far as Mephoshim, you have Rashi over here as usual. Some say maybe it's not from Rashi. Some say the Pirush printed under Rashi's name might be from somebody else. Not so clear about that. Tosfos over here this time is printed at the bottom of the page. And what happened was in the earlier editions of Hodius, they didn't have Tosfos at all, which is also why the dafim in Hodius are quite large, which many times may mean we're going to have a bit of a hard time getting through all of it in time. But anyway, in the earlier editions, they didn't have Tosfos. When they finally found them, a couple hundred years after the Masechta was first printed, and then they stuck them in at the bottom, and as it is, they only cover the first two-thirds of the Masechta, approximately, until Daf Ches. The Tosfos also are different in style than the usual ones, and there's questions whether they're actually from the Balei HaTosfos. Alright. Anyway, the Masechta begins. The Mishnah begins. Hodu Beistin Lavra Al Achas Mikol Mitzvah Samuris Batorah. If Beistin, and we're gonna see later on in the Perek, we're gonna talk about which Beistin are we talking about. Primarily, we're talking about the National Sanhedrin. So if they ruled, Hodu means they actually ruled as a practical Psak Halacha, Lavra Al Achas Mikol Mitzvah Samuris Batorah, to violate one of the mitzvahs that it says in the Torah. And we don't mean any mitzvah, we mean specifically the kind where there would be the kind where there's Kodesh B'nezid and a Chatas B'Shoigig. So we're gonna see examples, and we're gonna see examples as we go through. So for example, we're talking about Chelev, blood, Shabbos, Arayas, those sorts of things. So if they gave a psak that the result of that psak is to violate one of the mitzvahs that it says in the Torah, v'holach hayochid v'osal pihem, and an individual then went and followed them, so v'osal shoygig al pihem, and the individual went and did b'shoygig based on what they said. So in other words, to take an example, as we're going to have examples further on, let's say, for example, they decided that a certain type of chelev is actually mutter. We're going to see later on in the parak, it can't be that they said chelev is altogether mutter, that wouldn't be considered a valid psak, but we're talking about, in other words, they say, yeah, of course, there's such a thing as chelev, but we have analyzed the matter, and we decide that a certain fat in the animal is not considered chelev, and you can go ahead and eat it. So now, the individual went, not knowing that's wrong, and he went and did that. Bein she'osa, then the Mishnah continues, Bein she'osu v'osa achareihem, whether the Dayanim themselves did what they had said, they themselves ate that chelev, and he did it at the same time as them, Bein she'osu v'osa achareihem, or whether they ate from the chelev on one day, and he ate from it the next day, Bein she'loi osu v'osa, or even if they didn't do it at all, they didn't eat the chelev at all, they just passed it for everybody that it's mutter, v'osa, and he himself went and ate the chalev. In any of those cases, potter, he is potter from his own personal carbon. Now, like this, you have a regular person without a psaka based in eats something which he doesn't know is chalev, and afterwards he finds out he's going to bring a regular chatas. A regular person's chatas, by the way, is a female sheep or a female goat. If he's a king, as we're going to learn in the third parak of Amasechta, then it's a male goat, specifically. Then you have, what if it's a matter of Avodah Zarah? We're going to talk about that later on in the Masechta as well. What happens if the mistake was he worshipped Avodah Zarah B'Shoigig? Anyway, here we're at Chelev. So if it hadn't been for the Psak of Beis Din, he would be bringing a female sheep or a female goat of his own as a Chatas. Now instead that he followed what Beis Din said, so again, it doesn't matter whether they had done it or not, and whether he did it at the same time as them or afterwards. Either way, Potter, he's Potter from his own personal carbon, because he made it depend on Beis Din. He didn't do it based on his own understanding that the scale of his mutter, he did it based on his understanding that Beis Din was correct in what they decided, and that he's allowed to eat his chelev, and therefore the result is he doesn't have to bring his own korban. Instead, he's niskaper. He's atoned for by the korban that Beis Din brings on behalf of the whole tzibur. Tosfos actually wonders, in a case like that, would the members of the Beis Din themselves have to bring their own individual korban? The Yochid was saying who follows them does not. He's Yotze with the korban, with the Par Helam Davash Al Tzibur. What about the members of the Sanhedrin themselves? Would they have to bring a korban of their own, or maybe not? When the Rambam brings these halachas, they wouldn't have to bring a korban of their own, they're just Yotze with the one of the Tzibur. Now, on the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Hodu Beis Din, what happens if Beis Din gave their psak din, the Yoda Echad Man Shatol, and one of the members of the Beis Din realizes that they're making a mistake. So maybe he brought up the point during the discussion, maybe he didn't, but he knows he's a distinguished Talmud Chacham himself, obviously being a member of the Sanhedrin, and he realizes that his colleagues are making a mistake, and they're allowing something which is really awesome. Oy Talmud V'Roi L'Hoi Ra. Another possibility is he's not a member of the Beis Din himself, but he's a Talmud who is of the caliber of being able to paskin, of being able to paskin for others. So we're not talking about if he's an Amma Oretz, then we can't say what he knows doesn't count for anything. So we're talking about specifically he's a Talmud, and not only a Talmud, but he's learned enough that he's capable of paskining halacha himself, and he realizes that they're making a mistake. So now, the holoch va'osa al pihen, if he now goes and follows what the Beis Din said, bein sha'osu va'osa imahen, whether they and he did it at the same time, ate the chaylev, for example, bein sha'osu va'osa achrayen, or they did it and he followed suit, bein sha'loi osu va'osa, or they didn't do it at all, they didn't eat the chaylev, and he did, in all those cases, harei zeh chayev. He is going to be chayev for his own personal korban, his own personal chatas, mepnei sha'loi tolo beis din, because he did not make it depend on Beis Din, because he knows they made a mistake. We're going to learn in the Gemara that when is he yotzer with the par helam davar shel tzibur, only when his action is dependent on that of Beis Din, and here it's not because he in fact knows better. So Tosfos HaRosh points out that, the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah is saying, loizu afzu, not only a member of the Sanhedrin, where you could say, okay, you know, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, of course, then what is he doing just following them? Of course he should be chayev, how much more so? So in other words, it wasn't even a unanimous verdict. It may even be, in other words, we're talking about, so the Sanhedrin voted on the matter. They voted that this type of chaylev is mutter. He had voted against them because he knew that that's a mistake. But afterwards, he decided, you know what, if they voted that it's mutter, then let me go ahead and do it. So then we're saying he's chayev his own personal korban. But even more so, says the Rosh, even more so the Talmud, even though he wasn't a member of the Beis Din at all, even though the verdict was unanimous. This point, by the way, what happens if he follows the Beis Din? I mean, you have the famous expression from Rashi on Parshas Shoftim that even if the Beis Din tells you that the right is left and the left is your right, you're supposed to listen to them. And we're going to talk about that on Omer Beis over here. So the fact is, you are supposed to listen to them. Nevertheless, the Ramban says, he says somewhat different than the Rosh, if he argued with them and they didn't listen to him, then he's obligated to follow them. But if he never argued with them in the first place, then he has to be machmir according to his own opinions. The Ramban would learn different than the Rosh over here. He would say that the member of the Sanhedrin who knows that they made a mistake, not that he actually argued the point in front of them, just that he knows they're making a mistake, but he now figures to go along with them because they're the majority, and then that's and therefore he's chayv his own personal korban. Another way of looking at it is even, let's say they're saying the chaylev is mutter, doesn't mean he has to eat it. It means he's allowed to eat it. Doesn't necessarily mean he has to. And if he does, then that's another reason for him to be chayev. So the Mishnah says that, well, here's the general rule, hatola ba'atzmei chayev, if a person makes his action dependent on his own opinion, chayev, then he's going to be chayev achatas, v'atoyle be'beis din, but if he makes it dependent on beis din, potter, then he's potter from his own personal korban, and he's yotzer with the korban and the tzibur. So we'll see eventually in the Gemara what that comes to include. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omar Shmuel, lo olam ein beis din chayovin, you know when beis din is going to be chayev the korban, is only actually yomu lahem mutar and atem. Only if they actually tell the people you are whether we're talking about that they gave the psak din and all or most of the Jewish people followed them. Rashi, by the way, points out later on in the Gemara we're going to have the machloikas. Who actually brings this korban? Is it actually the members of Beis Din, or is it the tzibur? In other words, are the Beis Din paying for it, etc.? Nevertheless, though, here we're not getting into that. Shmuel is not getting into that level of detail. The point is, when is this korban brought? Says Shmuel, ad sheyomu lahem mutarim atem. Only if they actually tell them to the tzibur, you are mutter to do this. In other words, if they just voted on it, and the people then, there were people present then, and they heard Beistin voting, and then they went out and started spreading the news, hey, Beistin just decided that a certain kind of chela was mutter, then we would not bring the power helam davar shel tzibur. It would actually have to be that the Beistin not only voted on it, but actually told the people who asked them, you are mutter to eat this type of chela. So Reb Dimi Minhau Da says it a little differently. It's not enough for them to say you're mutter. They would actually have to say you are mutter to do it. So in other words, according to Shmuel, according to the first version, according to Shmuel's version, it's enough that they just say you're mutter. But mutorim atem lasos means you're actually allowed to do it. They're telling them as a practical psach halacha, you are allowed to do it. So the Rosh explains, in other words, that the difference is mutorim atem would be, we're talking about a theoretical case. Somebody comes to ask Beistin, is such a kind of chelev mutter? And they think it over and they vote on it and they say, yeah, it is mutter. But there's no actual practical psak halacha l'maisa that somebody is asking right now, as opposed to the dimi minhau does mutar matam lasos would mean that somebody actually came to the Beistin with the question, I have this piece of chelev, am I allowed to eat it? And they vote and say yes. So that would be it. So mutar matam lasos, you are allowed to actually do on the spot with this chelev, and you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says my timer. Why, according to the Dimi Minahav Da, if they don't say Mutorim Atam Lasis, would that not be considered? There's something that gets a power helm double shot zibur. L'fishle nigmar ha-hoira, because without saying Lasis, the hoira is not complete. So they actually have to say, you are mutter to do it. And then when all or most of the people follow it, that's when the korban would be brought. Omer Abaya, afanan nami tanena. Abaya says, we can actually see that from a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah describes over there, you have this case of Zokin Mamre, you have the case where Beistin is working out a certain halacha, and you have another Talmud Chacham, who you have a distinguished Talmud Chacham who argues with them. Eventually you have the Sanhedrin votes on it one way or the other. Now, the Mishnah says that if Chazal Le'ira, this Talmud Chacham, who disagrees with them, he goes back to his city, Shon of a Limid, the Kederach Shalimid, and he continues teaching, and he continues learning and teaching the way he did before, ignoring what Beistin had told him, that he's making a mistake, Potter, then he would be Potter from the punishment of a Zakin Mamre, because he's not actually paskining anything different to people. So even though he's teaching them, though, according to his own Shitta, but nevertheless he's not paskining to them different than what Beistin is doing. But Hora Lasis, but if he paskins to them to do, he says, you are allowed to do such and such, Chayev, then he would be Chayev Misa as a Zakin Mamre. So we see, says Abaya, that there's a difference between just teaching and even between saying a psach halacha and versus saying lasos to say to do. So in the same way in our Mishnah over here, it says Reb Dimi, it's not enough that they just say you, it's not just enough they say this is mutter, you have to say you're allowed to do it. A practical psach halacha. So now, and then, in fact, I mean, all the Tosfos points out that in that case, then why isn't the Gemara asking this as a question on Shmuel? In that case, then that concept seems to contradict Shmuel. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that Reb Dimi is not really arguing on Shmuel, he's just clarifying. Shmuel had said mutoramatim, and Reb Dimi had said that actually when Shmuel says mutoramatim, means mutoramatim lasis. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain that maybe Reb Dimi is actually arguing with Shmuel, and then it's going to start using these as questions against Shmuel. So Abaya says you can see from that Mishnah and Sanhedrin, the same way as we have the distinction there between just saying this is the halacha versus saying you are allowed to do it, the same way over here, we have the same distinction. Rab Abba says here also, we have I also can bring a proof. On the side over here, it says it should be Rava instead of Rab Abba. Rava is actually short for Rab Abba, but anyway. So Rab Abba, Rava says, here's another proof that there's a difference between saying this is mutter versus saying you're mutter to do it. You have a Mishnah in Yevamos that describes a woman who the one aide comes and says that her husband died. and Hodula based in Leinose, and based in then gave her a psak din that she is allowed to remarry. Now, in our Masechta, we're talking about, in our Perek at least, we're talking about the national Sanhedrin, as we're going to go on to explain later on in the Perek, or maybe at most we're talking about the based in of an entire Shevet. To paskin that she's allowed to remarry, obviously you don't need a based in of that caliber. Her local based in town will do, but the point is, in other words, that we see that there, we see that there's a difference in that regard between different kinds of Piskei Halacha. Anyway, Hodula based in Leinose, based in told her, fine, based on that 1/8 testimony, you can go ahead and remarry. Now, instead of remarrying, she went and messed up and committed znus. So she was mizana, and now her husband showed up. So now what happens is chayevus b'korban. So now she would be chayev in a korban, her own personal korban, because an eshesish, having relations, is one of the cases for which a person is chayev a korban, and it's considered shogeg shalei tirula ela lehinasi, because Beis Din gave her the heter to get remarried. They didn't give her a heter for znus. So we see that the expression in the Mishnah is that they said, the Mishnah had said, so they told her, you are mutter to get married, and therefore we see that only that is considered a psak halacha, to the extent where now, in other words, if she had gotten married based on that psak, and then her husband showed up, then she would not be chayiv in a korban, because then that would be an example of toilah b'beistian, she is only acting based on what Beis Din told her, which is that she's allowed to remarry. Truth is, Maosho actually mentions that the Gemara in Yevomus mentions a couple of possibilities. Kilkala can mean znus, but it can also mean, for example, that she married somebody who she would be also to marry. In Halacha, for example, she's now, as far as we know, an almana, and she goes and marries a kohen gadol. The Gemara discusses that point over there. Anyway, the point is, though, that had she remarried, she would be potter from a korban, because she was only following what Beis Din told her, but only if they told her, Hodu lo lehinose, only if they told her, you are mutter to remarry. So we see, as opposed to if they just said you're mutter, that wouldn't necessarily be considered toilah based. Instead of Abba or Rava says, there's another proof that there's a difference between saying mutter and saying you're mutter to do. Omer Ravina achanan nami tenena. So Ravina says, here's another proof. We're from another Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Horu based in Lava Alachas and Kalmitzvah Samuris Vatarah, where our Mishnah says the Beis Din gave a psak to violate one of the mitzvahs that it says in the Torah. When it says Horu Lava implies that they gave a psak to do, because Lava means to violate, so they actually gave a psak to actually do what it says to actually do what it turns out is against what the Torah says. So it must have Tulei Midi. Well, then there's nothing further to talk about. Those are very solid proofs. So therefore, that's it. So therefore, the halacha has to be like Reb Dimi Min Haudah. It's not enough that Beis Din says mutarim atim. They would actually have to say mutarim atim lasis. And only then does that trigger the power helam davar shel tzibur. So that's one version of the machlokas. Ikadami, now there's another version of the machlokas, the other way around. Omer Shmuel ein Beis Din chayov and atriyem lahem mutarim atim lasis. In the second version, Shmuel says that they're chayov only if they say mutarim atim lasis, which is like what Reb Dimi said in the first version. Reb Dimi min ha'udah omer afil mutarim atim nigma hara. And in the second version, Reb Dimi says the other way around, that even if they just say mutarim atim, that's considered a complete hara, and therefore the power helam davar shel tzibur is going to apply. So now, in the first version, we could say Reb Dimi, who came after Shmuel, is just clarifying what Shmuel says. But in the second version, it's clear that they're arguing. Shmuel is saying they actually have to say lasis, and Reb Dimi, who came after him, is saying no, they don't have to say lasis. So now we have the questions from the previous Mishnayos. Omer Abaye v'holet tznan hochis. Abaye says in that case, then that would seem to contradict the Mishnah from in Sanhedrin about the Zaken Mamre Chozel Le'iroi, where it says that if he returned home v'shana elimid kader shalimid, and he continues teaching or and continues learning or teaching the way he had learnt before, Potter, then it would be Potter from the punishment of a Zaken Mamre. Hora lasis chayev, but if he actually passed him to do, then he's chayev, implying only if he says, you can do this. So we see that there's a difference between saying mutar and mutarim lasis. Omer Rab Abba v'holei tznan hochi. Similarly, Rab Abba says, wait a minute, this doesn't fit with the Mishnah in Yavamis, where the Mishnah says Hodel Beisim Lehinase, that if Beisim gave her a psak din that she can remarry Behoch of a Kilkala, and she goes and is Mizana Chayevis for Korban, then she's Chayev in a Korban when her husband shows up, because they allowed her only to get married. Where again we see from that that there's a big difference between saying Yumutter and saying Yumutter and Yumutter to do it. Amr Ravina Vaholit Snan Hochi, and Ravina says also it doesn't fit with the wording of our Mishnah, Hodu based in Lava al Achas and Kamitsus Amuris Vatora, which implies that they said to actually do. And the Gemara says, Tulay Midi, well then there's nothing further to talk about. Obviously the halacha cannot be like the opinion that says that just saying Mutorim Atam is enough. It definitely has to be Mutorim Atam Lasas, based on all those Mishnayos. So that would be in the first version, that would be Rav Dimi's opinion. In the second version, that would be Shmuel's opinion. So that's how it has to be. It's not enough that, in other words, as the Rosh is saying, that's a theoretical case. Somebody comes and asks the Beis Din, I'm curious, what would be the Din about this kind of Chelev? And Beis Din says it's Mutter. That wouldn't trigger the Par Halam Davar Shal Tzibur. It would actually have to be that Beis Din says, go, you mutter to do it. So somebody comes, let's say, with an actual case involving Chalev, and Beis Din says, go ahead and eat it. We decided that it's mutter. Okay. The Mishnah had said, V'holach v'ha-yachid v'osa shogeg apihim. The Mishnah had continued that the yachid, that the individual went and acted v'shogeg according to what they said. So the question is, why do we need to add the word shogeg? V'nisni v'osal p'yem. All the Mishnah has to say is he followed what they said. Shogeg lomali. Why does the Mishnah have to add the word shogeg? And Rabbeinu Chananel points out, the point of the question is that you don't bring a korban on a mezid anyhow. So what if he had acted the mezid, he's anyway potter from a korban. So why do we need to? So what's the point? The Mishnah is trying to tell us when he's chayev in his own personal korban versus when he's potter. But there's two ways that he can be potter. One is if he followed Beis Din, and the other one is if he didn't follow Beis Din but did a mezid. So why mention the point? Why mention the word shogeg? So shogeg lomali, why does it need to use the word shogeg? Amar Rava, so Rava says shogeg la'asuye hodu beisim shechelev mutter. It comes as follows. You can have a case where, which is shogeg, where it's not exactly based on Beis Din. Namely, what happened was la'asuye, it comes to include the following case, says Rava. Hodu beisim shechelev mutter. Suppose that Beis Din said that chelev, or that is to say, a specific kind of chelev, is mutter to eat later on in the perek. Again, we're going to talk about that if he said chelev b'chlal is mutter, that's not considered a valid psak. So what we mean is they said a certain kind of chelev is mutter. Anyway, v'nischalef lo chelev v'shulman. Now, this particular type of chelev, the person had it in front of him, but he mistakenly thought it wasn't that type of chelev anyway. It's shulman, it's kosher fat. And he ate it, potter, then he will be potter from bringing his own personal carbon. And the reason is, because he would have eaten it either way. Like this, he ate it in this particular case because he thought it was shuman. But even if he had known that it was chalev, he would have said to himself, yeah, but this is the kind of chalev that based in recently paskin is mutter, and therefore I'm allowed to eat it. So one way or the other, then therefore it's considered that he's potter from his carbon. So it comes to include that potter, then he would be potter from his carbon. Al pihem. So that's the case of shogeg. Al pihem mamish. And when it says al pihem, means when he literally followed their psak and ate it because they said it's mutter. So in other words, two cases where he ate the same piece of chalev, but in one of them it's because he didn't realize that this is the actual chalev under discussion, and he ate it thinking that it was shuman, and the other is he realizes that this is the actual chalev, and he says to himself, yeah, Beis Din said it's mutter, therefore I'm allowed to. So that's the first version of what Rava says. The second version of Ikadamri Omar Rava, another version, Rava says no. Shegeg apia mamashu de potter. When would he be potter from his own personal korban? Only if he's literally shegeg based on what they said, namely, in other words, that he's only eating it because they said so. But if it was the case that we just described, where he mixed up, he thought that it was shuman and ate it, and had he known, he would have eaten it anyhow, because as far as he knows, this is chelev, which is mutter, but nevertheless, in this case, in the second version, Rava is saying that he would actually be chayev for his own personal korban, because he was not told of a Beis Din. He didn't eat it because Beis Din said so, he ate it because he thought that it was shuman. So in other words, in the first version, we're saying that there's two things, two cases included in the Mishnah, in both of which he's potter. In the second version, we're saying that it's only one case, only when he's following, only when he's exactly following what they're saying, not when there's a mistake of his own, namely that he thought that this was Truman. So the Gemara points out, Milsa de Pshita le Rava, mi boyle le Rami Bachama. You should know this particular detail that according to Rava, he knows it's Poshut. That in the first, so in other words, the point would be, in other words, the Kalef Yaakov explains in the first version, the point is he should have been careful. Well, then there's no point in him being careful. Why should he bother finding out if it's Truman or Chalev? If it's Truman, he's allowed to eat it. And if it's Chalev, it's a type of Chalev that based in said it's Mutter. So therefore, one way or the other, he's Potter. In the second version, it's not so much because he wasn't careful, it's because he actually did the Avera. And here, he actually did it. And therefore, he needs a kapara, and here you can't say that he relied exclusively on Beis Din, because it was really based on his mistake that he thought that this was Truman. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, Milsa de Pshita le Rava, kami baril le Rami Bachama. You should know this point that Rava knows as a fact, according to the first version, that he's Potter, and according to the second version, that he's Chayev. You should know Rami Bachama questioned that point. De Boy Rami Bachama, because Rami Bachama asked exactly that question. Hoyru based in Chalev Mutter, based in decided that Chalev, a certain kind of Chalev is Mutter, Venischalef Leibe Shuman. Now an individual mixed up that Chalev and thought that it was actually Shuman. V'ochmai, and he ate it. Mahu, what with the din? So we see that Rami Bachama is not sure. Omar Rava, Toshma, so Rava says we can prove from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah had said, Holach Yochid v'asa Shoygig apiyem Chola, when the Yochid went and acted Shoygig according to what they said, Chola. And again, like we just said, Shoygig apiyem Lamali, why the double expression Shoygig and apiyem? Lav la Asuya, Hoyro based in Shechele Mutter, when it's Chalaf Lechele Beshoman v'achoy Potter, wouldn't it be coming to include that case where he mixed up and was eating it because he thought it was Truman, and the Mishnah is saying that he's Potter, which is Rava's first version. And the answer is no, Rami Bachama can answer back, not necessarily, Juma Shoygig apiyem u'de Potter, Abel Neschalef Lechele b'Shuman v'Ochlei Chayev. Maybe on the contrary, the Mishnah wants to stress that only when he's Shoygig because of their Psak Din, only then is he Potter, but here he's Shoygig because of another factor, because he confused Chalev with Truman. So not necessarily, so Rami Lachama would say, my question still remains open. Ikadamni, others say, following the second version of Rava before, Omar Rava, Toshna, in the second version Rava is saying you bring a proof from the Mishnah to the contrary, Halach Yochan v'asa Shegig Apiyem, where it says the expression Shegig Apiyem, my love Shegig Apiyem u'depotter, wouldn't that mean that only if he's Shegig exclusively based on their Psak Din is he potter, I'm going to Schalach Lechele b'Shuman v'ach Lechayev, but if it's because he confused Chelev and Shuman, then he would be Chayev. So again, the answer is the other way around. Duma, or Shegig, or Yopi, and maybe the Mishnah means it's two different cases, one or the other. So Rami Bachama's question could still be open. So we're saying Rava knew one way or the other. In the first version, one way. In the second version, the other way. Meanwhile, Rami Bachama says you really don't know one way or the other. You don't really have a proof one way or the other from the Mishnah. So the Gemara points out Biplugta. There's actually a machlokas of Udi Ramuroyim on this point of whether the confusion of Chalev and Shuman, where again, had he known that it was Chalev, he would have anyway eaten it, because Beis Din said it's Mutter, so does that patter him from his own personal korban or not? So there's a machlokas of Udi Ramuroyim about that. Horu Beis Din Shechalev Mutter, Beis Din paskin that a certain kind of Chalev is Mutter, when it's Chalef like Chalev is Shuman, then he confused, he saw a piece of such Chalev, thought that it was Shuman, but Ochlai, and he ate it. Rav a potter, Rabbi Yechanan Amachayev. Rav says he's potter from his own individual korban. Rabbi Yechanan will say that he's chayev. So that's the same machlokas as Rava and Rami. It's the same point that Rami Bachama is questioning, and which Rava is saying, I know for sure one way or the other. So Rava in the first version is going like Rav, and the second version is going like Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says Meisvi. So I have a contradiction then on Rav's opinion. So Rav, you're telling me that in this case he's Potter because he's Tola and Beis Din. The question is as follows. When the Pasuk talks about the individual person's Chatas, the expression in the pasuk is me'am ha'aretz ba'asoisa. It says if one of the people of the land does something which is also something which would make him chayav kares if it was b'mezid. So then he has to. So then he has to bring the korban. The word me'am ha'aretz, the mem, is a miut that it means it doesn't apply to all the am ha'aretz. Now we don't mean am ha'aretz in the sense over here as the usual meaning in shas. I mean ignoramus. We just mean in other words a regular person as opposed to the king or the kohen gadol or whatever. Anyway, what's this me'am ha'aretz? What's the mirror? Pratla mumer. It comes to exclude a mumer. Where mumer is somebody who deliberately and habitually violates a certain mitzvah, so now we're not going to accept him a korban for him for a shoygig for this. So let's say you have a person, and I'm going to describe this scenario. You have a person, for example, who habitually eats chaylev. He doesn't care about the fact that chaylev is also, he regularly eats it. Now, one time, he eats a piece which he didn't realize was chaylev, and then he realizes afterwards. So now he wants to bring a korban for it. I ate this chaylev, the shoygig. We don't accept the korban from him because he's a mumer. Until he does tshuva, and for all of his eating chaylev, then we can consider him like any kosher a yid from now on. So that's one opinion in the Braisa. The Braisa continues, Reb Shimon and Yosi Omer Meshum Reb Shimon Einit Sorech. You don't need that. You don't need that limud to say that a mumer should not bring a korban. Marashah takes out those words because, as we're going to see, later on in the Masechta, we're going to see Reb Shimon ben Yosi is actually arguing with the Tanakama. So Einit Sorech would suggest, I don't need your drasha. I have another drasha from which I can learn the exact same point. What we see later on in the Masechta, it's not so that he actually disagrees on the actual concept. Anyway, Rav Shimon Yosi says, Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, a few Pesukim earlier, when it talks about the korban of the king, Asher Loiser Sena Mishgaga, where he does an Avera that should not have been done, he does it B'shogeg, V'oshem, and now he's guilty, Oy Hoida, and then he's informed that he had done something wrong, and that's when he brings his korban, from which we learn, says Rav Shimon Yosi, Ashav Midi Osei, only if he would have gone back, he would have retracted when he knows. So in other words, a regular yid, he's going to eat this piece because he thinks it's mutter, but if you inform him, wait a minute, that's chaylev, then he's going to stay away from it. So that would be maybe korban asher gosse. That would be the case where he brings a korban for his shoygeg. But if he wouldn't go back from it anyway, just because he knows, if he would eat it regardless, he would eat it anyway. As in the case of the mumer, then he does not bring a korban for his shoygig, because then we say, listen, you know, you would have done it anyway. The Torah is telling you a korban, is telling you a kapara, only when you would have not done it had you known better. And in the case of a mumer, it's not so. Later on, Rashi points out that later on Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara brings a nafkamina between these two opinions. And again, because there is a nafkamina between them, is why Marashah takes out the words here in parenthesis, ain't it tzarech, because there is in fact a machlokas between them. Anyway, the point is that Either one of them is saying that a mumer cannot bring a korban. So according to the Tanakhama, because of the miut from the word mei amaretz, and according to Reb Shimon ben Yosi, because he's not shov midiyosai, even if you had told him, you know what, this is chaylev, you shouldn't be eating it, he would say, I don't care, I'm eating it anyway, I'm a mumer. So even though this particular time he made a mistake and ate it inadvertently, nevertheless he can't bring a korban for it. Now the Gemara says, how does that relate to Rav's opinion? The im issa. So rather, the question is on Rabbi Yochanan. The im issa, if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yochanan, that a person is chayev when again, based in Paschim, that a certain kind of chaylev is mutter, he ate it not because he knew that this was this kind of chaylev, but because he thought it was shuman, well then, l'holoi shav midiyosehu. Don't you have the problem? He would have eaten it either way. He's not shav midiyosehu, because, like this, he ate it because he thought it was shuman. But even had he known it was chaylev, he would have eaten it anyway, because Beis Din allowed it. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying he's chayev a korban? It comes out from what we just said. He should be potter from a korban because he's not shav midiyosehu. The answer is Amar Papa. The Papa answer is chasav Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like this. Kiven de kimis yada lahu the base le bay jina hadri bahu. Right now, yes, he's not going to change his mind. He wouldn't be shav midiyosai because he's going to say, what do you mean Beis Din said this kind of chaylev is mutter? But when Beis Din themselves finds out that they make a mistake, then they're going to retract their opinion. Vahu nami hoder bay. He would also at that point retract his opinion. He would say, wait a minute then, if I had known that Beis Din is going to end up saying that this is also, after all, and that, that this kind of chalev is also, and that this piece in front of me was actually chalev, then I wouldn't have eaten it. Well, shav mi diyosei konen bei. Well, therefore, we can call him shav mi diyosei. The fact is, he wouldn't have done it if he had known all the facts. So, okay, in this particular case, there's two facts. He didn't know, A, that this is chalev, and B, that it's osir. But nevertheless, the fact is, he's not like the mummer who would have eaten it regardless. Therefore, v'chayev, therefore he can be chayev a korban, and therefore there's no problem with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. You could have answered more simply that Rabbi Yochanan holds a Tana Kama, but later on, when the Gemara takes up this point again on Daf Yud Aleph, it's gonna mention that there's a number of nafkaminas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon Rav Yossi, and the Gemara doesn't mention anything over there about it bearing on Rav Yochanan's opinion, implying that it doesn't make a difference, that Rav Yochanan's opinion would work either according to the Tanakama or according to Rav Shimon Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon Ben Yossi. And the answer is yes, it does, because there's a difference between the mummer, where he would have continued doing it regardless, because he's a mummer, versus over here where, fine, there's two facts that he's unknown, that he's unaware of, but nevertheless, if he had known both of those facts, he wouldn't have eaten it, and therefore it is called Shav Mi Diyosei, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan can be Mechayev and Makarvan. So again, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say he's not completely toiled the base in, because after all, there is another factor involved, namely that he didn't know that this was the chalev that was the subject of their psak din, therefore he's still going to have to bring his own carbon. Whereas again, according to Rab, we said before, he will not have to. Omar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Moida Rav will agree in the following case. Rav will agree, She'enei Mashlim L'Roiv Tzibur. Rav will agree that this individual who ate the chalev because he thought it was Truman, and not exclusively because based in Paskin that it's Mutter, granted, Rav says he won't bring his own korban, but he's not going to combine towards making up the majority of the tzibur, as we're going to learn as we go through the parak. For the parhelam davar shel tzibur, it has to be that most of the tzibur follow the mistaken psak of Beis Din. So let's say right now there are 1 million Jews in the world. So therefore, to be high of the korban, it would have to be that 500,001 or more Jews follow that psak din. When we count how many Jews actually followed it, we don't count him in it. my timer. Why is that? Omakra. Bishgoga. The pasuk says that the pasuk says kibachala ambishu v'nislachala adasmane Yisrael kibachala ambishgoga. Implying ad shiur kulin bishgoga achas. It implies that in order to bring the parhelam davash tzibur, it has to be that the entire tzibur was doing the same kind of shgoga. They made the same kind of mistake. And here you're not, because here you have that this particular person made two mistakes, one of which had nothing to do with Beis Din Psak. So Rav will say he doesn't bring his own korban, but he also is not going to. But also, if again in our scenario there are 1 million Jews, and there are 500,000 who ate exclusively because Beis Din said that it's mutter, and then you have him, we're not going to bring the parhelam davar shel tzibur because we don't have the majority of people who exclusively followed Beis Din. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Bein she'osu v'osu imahen chula." We said whether they did what they said, for example, eating chalev, eating this particular kind of chalev, and then he did at the same time as them, or whether he followed them, or whether they didn't do it at all. So the Gemara says, "Lamali the Mishnah kolhani." Why does the Mishnah have to mention all these three cases? Bishleimer reisha. I can understand why in the. And now, then the Mishnah had continued that on the other hand, if he knows they made a mistake, then in any of these three cases, he's bringing his own korban. So we have six cases in the Mishnah, and the question is why the Mishnah has to list all of them. Again, you have they paskin and he didn't know better, and then we said there were three sub-cases within that. They did it and he did it at the same time. They did it and he did it afterwards, or they didn't do it at all and he did it. Then you have the case where he knows they made a mistake, and then you have those same three cases. So why does the Mishnah have to list all that? Lomalei the Mishnah Kohani. Bishleimer Reisha Lo Zuaf Zukatani. I can understand in the Reisha where he's following based in. Then you can say Lo Zuaf Zu, not only this, but even this. Each one has a greater chiddush than the previous one. Needless to say, if he does it the same time as them, he's for sure Toilet Beis Din. But even if he does it after them, it can also be called Toilet Beis Din. And even when they didn't do it at all, nevertheless, it's still a chiddush that it's still considered Toilet Beis Din, even though they didn't actually follow their psak din in practice. But he's entitled to follow their psak din. So in those cases, then we say each one of them is a chiddush over the second one. Ela sefer de l'chiyuva, but in the sefer, where you're talking about the cases where he's chayev, ipchami boiler, it should be the other way around. It should be saying whether they didn't do it and he did it, and even if they did it and he did it afterwards, and even if they and he did it at the same time, nevertheless he's chayev. So why didn't the second part of the Mishnah list it in that way? And the answer is Zuvain, Sarach Lemazukatani. The answer is in that part of the Mishnah, it's saying this and needless to say that. So you're right, it's not a usual way for the Mishnah to do it, but nevertheless, this is how it's doing it. It's going in descending order where he did it. And that's saying where they did it and he did it at the same time, he's still chayev because he wasn't totally based in. And all the more so if they did it and he did it afterwards. And all the more so if they didn't do it and if they didn't do it at all and he did it. It's true. It's not a usual thing for the Mishnah to do that kind of thing. But nevertheless, here, that is how the Mishnah is doing it. But Ashkenaz is doing it for parallelism because in order to be parallel with the first part of the Mishnah. Okay. So the Be'er Sheva points out that, you know, the Gemara knew we could have answered that, but it's a little bit of a doichat. The Gemara assumes it's a little bit of a doichat to say one part of the Mishnah is going in ascending order and the other one in descending order, but that's the Gemara answers that is how it is. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said the Yoda Echad Man Chato. We said if one member of the Beis Din knew that they're making a mistake, or Talmud V'roi L'Ra, or the one person who knows is a Talmud, but he's capable of paskening halacha himself. Then we said if he goes and follows the Psak Din anyhow, then he's chayev his own individual korban because not totally the Beis Din. So we want to ask Tauti Lomali, why does the Mishnah need to mention both one member of the Sanhedrin and Talmud V'roi L'Ra? In fact, the Be'er Sheva explains, the question is, once you say Echad Mehen, all the more so a Talmud, so why bother mentioning it? Omer Rava, Itzrich, so Rava says, because you need it. Sakudan Hamina, otherwise you might have thought, Hanimili Gomer Vesavir, you know when you would say that that if he knows they made a mistake and he acts according to it anyhow, that Michayev would be only when he's Gomer Vesavir. Gomer means that he actually learned the matter. Savir means he has the capability of coming to conclusions on his own. Maybe Dover Matesh Dover. So you would think only if he has those qualities, which usually those are qualities that he needs in order to be a member of the Beis Din. But you would think that maybe if he only knows the halachas, but he doesn't have the ability to be maven dover mitoch dover, maybe he would also, maybe we would say that then he does count with the tzibur and he doesn't have to bring his own personal korban. Maybe to that extent he would be considered like an amaretz. Therefore, the Mishnah mentioned roi lahira, where once he learned the din, he's capable of giving hara, he's capable of paskening based on the din that he knows. So that would be, it says Abaye, what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. A, where he's Gomer Vesavir, where he's a full-fledged member of the Beis Din, and he has the ability not only to learn the halachas, but also to derive new halachas from them. And two, where he's only learned but doesn't have that capability yet. Either way, if he's following Beis Din's mistaken psak, then he's chayev his own personal korban, because he wasn't totally the Beis Din. That's Rava's answer. Omer le'Abaye, but Abaye says, what do you mean? Lohi ra, gomer v'saver mashma. When the Mishnah says the expression that he's roi lohi ra, that he's capable of paskening, that implies that he's gomer v'saver. A person doesn't just pasken halacha just based on knowing the facts. He has to know how to be able to derive, how to be able to apply them to new situations. So if he's only gomer and not saver, then no, you can't call him roi lohi ra. So Rava answers, what I meant to say is like this, if you only have the case in the Mishnah of Echad Mehem, of one member of the Beis Din, have Amina Hani Mili Gomer V'Sover, then you would think that it means that he has to have both qualities, Ava Gomer V'Loi Sover Loi, maybe you would think that if he only has learned the halachas, but has not learned how to use svara to apply them to new situations and to derive new halachas from them, loy, then maybe he shouldn't be chayev. Tana, roi lohi ra. Therefore, the Mishnah mentions the second case of the Talmud roi lohi ra. Now, roi lohi ra does involve gomer v'saver. So then you'd have to say that then it seems repetitious. Both the Echad Mehem and the Talmud roi lohi ra are gomer v'saver. No. But, says Rava, no, that's the point. Mishnah yaseira. The extra wording in the Mishnah is precisely to teach us afilu gomer v'loy sover, sover v'loy gomer. That comes to tell us, even if it's only one or the other, even if he doesn't Even if, whether he has learned this halacha, but he hasn't yet learned how to use svara to apply it to new cases, or the other way around, he's learned how to apply things to new cases, but he hasn't learned this part, the methodology of the Gemara, how to apply a din to a different case, but he hasn't learned this particular din. Either way, says Rava, then he's not included in, it's not considered Torah based in, because in either case, he has enough knowledge, enough caliber of Torah to know that they're making a mistake, whether because Gomer, when he learned this din explicitly, or whether because Savir, he has the ability to apply, to derive from something else, that this is Halacha, and therefore he's not following them exclusively, and therefore he's Chayim. So if he's not Gomer and he's not Savir, then fine, he has no way of knowing that based in made a mistake, just the fact that he has his Balabata Shadeya that says they're making a mistake doesn't count for anything. So therefore, we're certainly not going to say that he's chayev in his own carbon. But if it's one or the other, either gomer or sover. In other words, in effect, what we have over here, Rabbi Hananel explains, in effect, we have over here, this is like ein ribu yachar ribu elalamai. The fact that the Mishnah mentions two cases, one of which a member of the Beis Din and a Talmud, and both of them, by definition, are Gomer and Saver, then therefore that means we're including also when it's one or the other one. Okay. So Perspus then wonders in that case, then just mention the Talmud, and then you don't need to... And then you don't need to mention the member of the Beis Din, then we would say that actually maybe somebody who's Gomer B'Savir is considered a Mezid and wouldn't bring the Korban for that reason. So we have to clarify, no, none of them are considered Mezidim, but the fact is one is Gomer B'Savir, the other one is Gomer without Savir, or the other way around, all of them are Chayiv in the Korban, they are considered Shergig, but they're not totally Beis Din, and therefore they don't get away with the Korban and the Tzibur. Next, we said Rory Lahi Rav Chola. We said that you have a Talmud who's capable of paskening halacha. So the Gemara says, "Going man, what kind of person are we talking about? I mean, if he's capable of paskening halacha, why are we still calling him a Talmud? Why is he not a member? Why is he not a member of the Beis Din himself?" So Omar Rava, you're going Shimon ben Azay to Shimon ben Zoma. Examples of that would be Shimon ben Azay and Shimon ben Zoma. They were main Talmidim. They never actually received smicha. They passed away young. But nevertheless, they were Roy Lohara. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that they were Yoshim Lifnei Chachamim. They were the ones who sat in front of the Chachamim as senior Talmidim, and they were already of the caliber of Gomer and Sover, where they could pass in halacha for themselves. Abaya says, Ki hai gavna mezidu. Wait a minute, if they're the caliber of Ben Azay or Ben Zoma, and they still follow Beis Din, and they still eat the Tzchelem anyway, then they'd be called a mezid. So what do you mean? How can they bring a korban? How can they bring a korban for being mezid? So in other words, in the Mishnah, you could say when it says Talmud doesn't mean somebody of such great caliber. But now, if Rava is saying you're talking about Talmud Chachamim of high caliber like that, and it's just that they didn't receive smicha, then wait a minute, how are you even calling them shoygei? So the Gemara answers back, Velitai Meich, well then according to your svara that you're asking the question, Ha Detanya, what are you going to do with this that it says in a Braisa? On the pasuk about the case where an individual does an avera and has to bring a korban chatas, the pasuk says ba'asoy sa'achas. The pasuk says when he does one of the mitzvahs. So the expression that he does, it says nefesh achas sechta b'shgaga ba'asoy sa when it does one of the mitzvahs. So implying, in other words, that. The mistake was that he did it on his own. Yochid oisim piatz mechayev, only if he acts on his own. So to me, we're learning from the word achas, which means one person as opposed to one mitzvah, or it could be, in other words, because the expression in the Malbim on the Pasuk explains that it means for the same, that he did it ba'asoisa, in the doing, implying that his doing was only because of his own mistake. So Yochid Oisim Piatz Mechayev, so only if he does it on his own, he's Chayev, Bahiros based in Potter, but if he does it based on based in Psach, then he's Potter. And the Braitha continues, Ketzad, what does this mean? Horu based in Chaylev Mutter, based in decided that a certain kind of Chaylev is Mutter, the Nerdala Echad Mehan Chateau, that one of the Dayonim realizes that they made a mistake, or a Talmud Yoshev of Nehan, or a Talmud who's sitting in front of the Beis Din, the Roy Lahira, and he is capable of passing in Halacha, Kigoyin Shimon Men Azai. So here the Braitha clearly spells out, for example, Shimon Men Azai, Yochol Yehe Potter, you would think that he would be Potter if he goes and eats the Chaylev anyway. No, Talmud Lahim of Asko is the Achas. Therefore, the pasuk says, when it does one, yochid oisalf yatzmei chayev, only if he does it based on his own understanding, is he chayev, b'hairos based in potter, but if he does it based on the hairos of based in, then he'd be potter. So we see the Braisa clearly says that you have a Talmud like Shimon ben Azai, and nevertheless, he's still potter from a korban, and he's yotzer with the korban of the tzibur. Now, according to Abaye, we should consider him amazing. So what do you mean then? The fact is, a Talmud of the caliber of Shimon ben Azai, how would we say that he's considered a shogeg and his chayev and his own korban? So let's say he knows, in fact, that this kind of chaylev is also for katoy the mitzvah the shmoy dibur chachamim. His mistake was he thought, like we were talking about there at the beginning, that it's a mitzvah to listen to whatever the chachamim say. As we know, you're supposed to listen to the chachamim, even if they say the left is the right and the right is the left. So he thinks in that case, then that would apply in this case. So now he's considered a shogeg to the extent that he has to bring the korban. And again, like we talked about before, that Ramban says that would only apply before he discussed the matter with them. If he discussed the matter with them, then, and they disagreed with him anyway, then in fact he would have to listen to them. So now he's considered a shogeg. Well then, so Rabbi says, well then, according to me also, I can explain the Talmud of our mission in the same vein. We are in fact talking about somebody like Shimon ben Azai or Shimon ben Leima. In the Torah of the mitzvah of the Shmoyer Dibur Chachamim, their mistake was that once the Sanhedrin passed him, they thought they're obligated to follow them. And therefore that's their mistake, and therefore they are in fact chayef to bring a korban because they are shogeg. But you're right, if they hadn't made that mistake, if they realized you're not supposed to listen to the chachamim in that case, and they knew that the din is wrong, and they did it, we would in fact consider them mazed, and they wouldn't bring a korban anyway. Okay? The Mishnah had said, Zah klala tola ba'atzma chayev. The Mishnah had said, this is the general rule, if he makes it depend on his own opinion, then he's chayev, and if it makes it, he's chayev his own korban, And if he's just depending on Beis Din, then he's Potter. So, what's the Zeh HaKlal L'Issuri Mai? What is it coming to include? So, L'Issuri Mevayet Bahira. So, it comes to include in the case of a person who rebels against Piske Dinim of the Gemara, of the Sanhedrin. So you have, for example, the Chachamim will say, you're allowed or you're not allowed to do such a thing, and he's Mevayit, he kicks against it and rebels against it. So in this case, in other words, So he regularly does that kind of thing. So Beis Din will say, this is Osir, who cares about what they say, I'm doing it anyway. Now, this time, they said that Chaylev is Mutter, and he went and followed them and ate the Chaylev. We're going to say, listen, he often puts down and he often belittles what the Chachamim say. So now also, when he's eating the Chaylev, it's not really because Beis Din said so, it's just because he feels like doing it. So such a person is in fact chayev in the korban. So that's what we're including in Zeh HaKlala, Torah Ba'atzma Chayev. In this particular case, he's Torah Ba'atzma. He may say that he's officially following Beis Din, but we know that he's regularly been Mevayet Beis Din, that he's regularly been disobeying what Beis Din says anyway, and therefore he's not doing it because Beis Din said so, he's doing it because he's a rebellious kind of person and he likes to disobey Beis Din. Okay. What about Toilet with Beis Din Potter? We said the Mishnah says when he makes it depend on Beis Din, then he's Potter. What is that coming to include? What happens? Beis Din Paskin, that this type of chaylev is mutter, they realize afterwards that they made a mistake and they change their mind. They then announce that in fact this kind of chaylev is osur. But he didn't know that they had changed their mind. He hadn't heard the latest news, and he goes and eats the chaylev. So now he is totally based in, because as far as he knows, Beis Din's original psak is still valid. So the Gemara asks, "Kol behedya katani law." Later on, we have a Mishnah on Gimel Amud Beis that says that exactly that he's potter in that case. Why would our Mishnah need to imply that? And the answer is fine. Tani v'hadim afarish. The Mishnah is mentioning it briefly, and then it's explaining it in more detail in a later Mishnah. A Mishnah will commonly do that. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zudivir of Yehuda. This that we're saying so far is according to the Tanner of Yehuda. That if he's Toilab based in, that if he acts based on what based in said, that he's Potter, that would specifically be according to the Tanner of Yehuda. Abba Chachamim, I remember the Chacham saying, no, Yochid Shaasabai Ras based in Chayav. If the Yochid does based on what the based in says, then he would actually be Chayav his own carbon. So according to the Chachamim, this whole distinction that we've been saying so far between whether he's depending on Beis Din or not, whether he's only following what Beis Din said, not knowing better, or whether he's doing it based on his own understanding, either way, the Chacham say he would be high of his own personal carbon. Oh, by the way, as far as the Mevayet Bahura, actually the Rambam seems to understand that Mevayet Bahura means he says, I know that it's mutter, not because Beis Din said so, but because I myself analyzed the matter and concluded that it's mutter. So then he's not told of Beis Din, he's doing it based on his own understanding. Anyway, so now we're saying, according to the Chachamim, says Shmuel, that according to the Chachamim, against the Rabbi Yehuda, the Yochid is always high of anyway. So, Detanya, my Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see Rabbi Yehuda says such a thing? Detanya, we learned in a Braisa. Now, the Braisa is not going to mention Rabbi Yehuda's name, so we're going to discuss later how we know it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Pasuk says, v'nefesh achas techta b'shgaga b'asoisa. Again, it says an individual sins inadvertently, and when it does, such and such. So, harei l'shlosha mi'otin. So you have in the Pasuk three mi'otin, nefesh, and achas, and b'asoisa. So from Basosa we learn Oisim Piyas Mechayev only if he acts based on himself is he Chayev Baros based in Potter, but if he acts according to the Haroa based in that he's Potter, like we said before. As far as what the others two things on Mamayat, that's the Gemara deals elsewhere with in Masechta Shabbos, what it deals with one of them. One of them is Mamayat, Kadashi brings him here. One of them is Mamayat, a case where one, for example, with Shabbos, where one does the Akira and one does the Hanocha, so you don't have a complete Malacha. One of them is Mamayat, a case where each one of them alone is capable of doing the Malacha, and then two of them do it together, and then we have this Yochid Bar Shasta Bar Ras based it. Okay, so we see that there is such an opinion, and the Gemara is going to explain further on how we know that that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. My Rabbanan, where do we see the Chacham disagree with that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Adayin Ani Omer, you would still, the Braisa starts out by saying that, so you have Basoy, so a person does an Aveira, so you would think that if two people do the Aveira together, then if more than one person does the Aveira, that should be Potter. No, Me'ama Oretz should mean that even if two or more individual people do the same Aveira, they're still Chayev, and the Braisa continues, Adayin Ani Omer, Miot Kol Shechotu Chayoven, you would still argue that only if a Miot of the Jewish people have done this Aveira, then each one is Chayev his own carbon. She'ain based in Mivin Aydein Par, because in that case, based in is not going to be bringing a par for them because they're not the Roiv. Roiv Kol Shechotu Yub Turin. You would think if most of the Kol does the Aveira, automatically they should be Potter. She'ain based in Mivin Aydein Par, because the based in brings a par for them. No, Tamad Loimar, May Amma Oretz. Therefore, the Pasuk says, from the Amma Oretz, Afilu Ruba, Afilu Kula, Vafilu Kula, even if the entire people have done the Aveira, they're still going to bring their own carbon. In other words, the Chachamim are holding, yes, of course you bring the Parahelam Dabashal Tzibur in that case, but also each individual person is bringing their own carbon. So we see that the Chacham hold that it's not a matter of Toyla Bebeistin or Toyla Bedas Atzmai. Either way, a person is going to have to bring his own individual carbon. The difference is just that if it was a majority of the people, then there's also the Par Helm Dabar Shel Tzibur. Well, the Gemara says, "B'mai." Well, what exactly is the case that Braisa is talking about? Ilema b'shigas ma'isa based in Shaloi Bahara. Are we talking about that they were shogeg in the action and Beis Din did not in fact paskin. So what happened was, so there was never any psak from Beis Din that this kind of chaylev is, that this kind of chaylev is mutter. You're just talking about that most of the people mistakenly thought that this kind of chaylev is really shuman, and they ate it. Wait a minute, Beis Din may have been silent, then where does the Beis Din come in? Of course there's no power held in Dover Shal Tzibur, there was no psak of Beis Din. Shaloi Baharas Beis Din. There was no psak of Beis Din after all. Beis Din mean Mises. Shaloi Baharas. How does Beis Din does not bring the korban unless they actually paskin? Ela Baharas. So we have to be talking about where there was a Hira. There was a psak of Beis Din. And we're saying that if the miut followed them, they have to bring their own korbanos. And the Braisa is saying that according to the Chachamim, even if the roi followed them, they also have to bring their own korbanos. The question is, the problem with that is that where is the Braisa learning from that they should be chayev? Because it says me amaret, and the context of that pasuk is not talking about hara, it's only talking about maisa. It's talking about where a person did. An individual brings a korban for his aveda b'shogeg. Doesn't matter what he paskin. Doesn't matter whether he. Doesn't matter whether he's a Talmud Chacham or he's an Am Oretz. Either way, he breaks Shabbos or eats Chalev or whatever. He's bringing a korban. So what are you telling me that we're learning from this pasuk something about what happens if Beis Din paskin? And necessarily it has to be, because otherwise the Beis Din doesn't even come into the picture if the pasuk we're learning from is talking strictly about Maaseh. Ela lav hok kamer. Evidently, the Braisa must be saying as follows. Miut kohol shechotu b'shigas maisa. If you have a minority of the kohol where they sin with only the action, there wasn't any psak involved. They just there was no psak halacha. Of course, chayovin, and of course they're going to be chayav a korban. They're going to be chayav their own individual korban. So okay, we need a limud from the pasuk for it. We do need the words basoisa. But nevertheless, the point is, once we know that, then fine. We know that obviously there's not going to be any possibility of them being yotze with the korban of the tzibur, because there is no korban tzibur. Shein basin mivin ayden par bahara, because basin is not going to be bringing a par for the hara because there was no hara over there. So we can infer from the Braisa, that miut to the tzibur are in fact going to be chayev achatas. Now the Braisa continues. Once we know that yochol roiv tzibur also b'shigas maisa, you would think then that what if it was most of the tzibur who mistakenly did the maisa? There was no hara. They just mixed up. They thought that the shrum, that the scheil was shruman, and they did it. Yehup turin. You would think they would be potter. Shadei based in mivian alayim par b'hara. Because had there been a hara, so in other words, the flow of the braisa is as follows. When it's a meal to the tzibur, even if there had been a hara, they still wouldn't be potter because there's no power held in davar shel tzibur for a meal. So if the yechidim, if less than half the tzibur does it, then for sure they're bringing their own korbanos, because one way or the other, whether there had been a hara or not, they would be chayav. The same way, we would argue that when it comes to the roiv, since if there was a hara of Beis Din, they would be potter, then maybe even if there wasn't a hara of Beis Din, they should also be potter. Talmud Lema, me ama oretz, therefore the pasuk says, me ama oretz, from which we learn, afilu ruba, even if it's the majority of the tzibur that did it, they're still going to be bringing a korban unless there was a hara. So we see from that braisa that was saying that they do have to bring their own korbanos even if they were the roiv and even if there was a hara. So Amar Papa, I mean my, but Rav Papa says fine, but how do you see that the Braisa is still saying that in that case, when there's a power hell on Davar Shal Tzibur, there's also a korban of the Yachid. Dilma Hain Yon Loy Hain Veloy Beis Din. Maybe it means in that case, when maybe the first part of the Braisa, when it's talking about the miut of the Tzibur, and it's talking about where there was a hara. And it would be saying there's no korban at all. The individuals are not bringing a korban because they were Tola and Beis Din, and the Beis Din is not bringing a korban because there was no roiv. So the answer is yihochi. If that was what the Braisa meant, Mari Irida Kamahada or Rubel Chayuva, then why is the Braisa trying to find a case where the roiv is chayev and saying for sure the miut is chayev? We have to have a limit from the pasuk that even the roiv is chayev. Lav mekal the miut b'hara, kaim aleidim chayev b'hara. Obviously, it must be, because if it was a miut of the people that followed the hara, it's a given that they're going to be chayev a korban even though there was a hara. even though there was a psak from Beis Din. So we see that. So we see that that's a fact. You can't say, like Yehuda Popper was saying, that there might be a possibility that there's no korban in that case, because obviously the Braisa is assuming that there is in fact a korban in that case. Okay. So the question is then, so then in that case, the Braisa should first be looking for a case of the miut of the people who are chayev, even if they only did a maisa without hurrah, and then the Braisa should be going and finding a drosha that if most of the tzibur did the same maisa, they're also chayev, and but that's not the flow of the Braisa. First it's showing how we know that the miut is potter when it comes to hora, and then it's saying how we know that the roiv is that the roiv is chayev, how we know that the roiv is chayev even when there's hora, even when they were following a psak, how we know that the miut is chayev even when there's hora, and then it goes on to find how we know that the roiv is chayev even when they even when there is a hora. So the fact, the flow of the Braisa that way, since to begin with the Braisa is not even trying to find to demonstrate that the miut is chayev for doing it just with maisa without hora, all of a sudden we had our rubel chayuv b'shigas maisa, and then later on the braisa instead is trying to find how we know that most of them are chayev if there was only maisa. Shmamina, we see from that, from the flow of the braisa, miut b'hora chayovin hein kisbo sira, means that the miut, even if there was a hora, even if there was a psak from Beis Din, and they followed it, but because they're miut, they're still going to have to bring their own individual korban, a female sheep or a female goat, as the case may be. V'shaloi b'hora, v'shigas ma'isa chayovin, and then the braisa therefore takes it as it's obvious then, if even when there was a hora, they're still chayev their own korban, how much more so when there was no hora, that they're going to be chayev with shigas ma'isa, they're going to be chayev their chafes yochid. So we see, there's some from the flow of the braisa, that even if the yochid follows the hora space, then he's going to be chayev. So because it, that brings us back to what Shmuel said before, that unlike our Mishnah that had said that if the yochid follows the hora space, then he's potter and he's yotzer with the power helam davashal tzibur. Here we have a brisa, once we've analyzed it, that says not so, that in fact he's going to have to bring his own korban, as well as if there was a majority, there's going to bring a power helam davashal tzibur. So we see that there are two brises now. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We said that we have two brises, but neither one has a name attached to it. How do we know one of them is the opinion of Rabbi Huda and the other is the opinion of the Chachamim? That we'll get to tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.